It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I am Dakota Gardner. I'm joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
What's up?
What's up with you? Gemma's mad at me. Gemma and I have been locked in Chelsea Market pretty much for the last 72 hours,
I can't
chained together.
Only like three. Oh my! It's so late in the day. This morning you suggested that we should all camp out in an office.
I did.
Can you imagine that? Like if we had the Cut Fort treehouse.
I know. Yeah. And we're gonna be here later tonight. This will already have happened by the time you listen to this podcast. But the postseason watch party with Cespedes Family Barbecue is happening Wednesday night during the NL Wild Card game. Might make a reappearance later in the postseason. Stay tuned for that. So if you watched it and enjoyed it, keep an eye out for that. We are also joined by Ian Kay, who's going to play mediator in this episode of the Cut Forecast.
Let's get into it.
No, but yeah, we're going to be here all night. Not podcasting all night. At least we aren't. But we're a little slap happy.
Yeah, we are.
I'm gonna be honest. But we have a lot to get to today and in this episode of the Cut Forecast. Hey, it's the postseason. It's here. I promised last week that it would come, and sure enough, I am a man of my word. The postseason is here.
Thanks to Dakota. It's really all the postseason.
Rob Manfred called me. He was like, "Should we have the postseason this year?" And I was like, "Look." Maybe, maybe not. You know what? I promised the Cut Forecast listeners, and I do not go back on a promise. But we have a lot to get to. Obviously, we will break down the AL wildcard game in every moment, every single pitch. We're going to break down every pitch. Okay, that's a promise that I'll break right now.
9,000
pitches. Yeah, I will also complain that I got to bed at like midnight, but we'll get to that. We'll also discuss some non-postseason news, including a style makeover for one of the Mets pitchers. Wonder which one that could be. Unclear. It really could be any of them. We don't know. And then this is postseason related, but Ben Zobrist went on a fun jaunt in his free time that we will explore. But before we get to all of that, we need to give a shout out to the official baseball couple of the Cut Forecast and of Cut Four more broadly, Sean Doolittle and Aaron Dolan. They eloped.
They did.
How about that? On Monday afternoon, they just went, they got married. She was wearing like a shirt and jeans. He was wearing like flannel.
I support this 100%.
Wonderful. It was charming.
They both look really happy.
They looked super happy. This seemed like the perfect wedding for the two of them as well. It was great. Shout out to them. Congrats from the Cut Forecast.
Yeah, I like that it's considered elope. Like when I think of eloping, I think of running away to a different state or like at least Vegas or something.
Getting married by an Elvis impersonator.
Yeah, which I do support. Yeah. But it's funny that you can elope, but just like go to the courthouse or however they did it.
Yeah.
I used to, this family that I used to babysit for, the parents got married in Las Vegas by an Elvis impersonator, and they had a signed photo of that impersonator on the wall of their house after he married there.
Did he's it like, say Elvis
it
was or was it the
him.
Guy's name?
It was of the guy. He signed it Elvis, but it was of the impersonator, and it was like, congrats, good luck on your marriage. Like they just had it.
I like the idea of signing it like, you know, Tony Williams. Just like, oh yeah, I was the, and then parentheses, Elvis. Close parentheses. Yeah. That would be good. They should have done that.
They should have a signed photo of the Justice of the Peace.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be really fun. Or Dusty Baker. That would be good too. He's another person who should have a signed photo, should have officiated the wedding.
Can a baseball manager officiate a wedding just by virtue
like
a ship captain?
Yeah,
only
like
if
a
it's
judge?
In the ballpark. Only if it's in the ballpark.
Can Aaron Judge officiate a wedding?
Aaron Judge should be able to officiate a wedding.
He probably could. At least like a name change. He's probably at least a notary public. I bet like when the Yankees need to send certified mail, they just take it to Judge's locker. He'll handle it.
Local magistrate Aaron Judge.
Aaron Local Magistrate. That's his new nickname. But anyway, congrats to the two of them. We just needed to give them a shout out here on the Cut Forecast.
Mazel.
Mazel. Let us now move to Citi Field. I mean, not literally. That's
Bye.
All the way out on the 7 train. The commute is terrible. But with Jacob DeGrom chopped off his hair. It's gone. Jose Reyes went on Snapchat and announced that he had a new teammate, and then he showed a video. Lo and behold, it was DeGrom, unrecognizable without his trademark locks. Gemma, what do you think? My understanding in talking about this with you is that you prefer short-haired DeGrom.
I do. I do not prefer short hair overall on baseball players.
Okay.
But I think he looks really good without the longer hair. I don't know, whatever reason. Like, the shortcut, just it complements his face. He looks nice. And I think in a way that's more striking than when he had long hair. I understand that it was iconic. I know everyone's really sad, but, you know, Noah still has long hair. Syndergaard still has long hair. So yeah. I feel like you don't have to stress about it so much, Mets fans.
Yeah. Ian, what do you think?
Let me throw some old school sabermetrics at you.
Uh-oh.
I believe it's an equation that goes E equals MC haired.
What even are you?
Wait, the best part of this is how hard you laughed at your own joke.
Guys, he can't even breathe. He's laughing so hard.
It's the equation for the conservation of hair.
Oh my God.
On the New York Mets.
Oh my God.
Hair can neither be created nor destroyed, which means that while Jacob DeGrom has less of it, another Mets player is now going to have to grow it out.
Huh.
That is the that's what that
well, that's
means,
a theory.
You just combined a lot of
is that not the right equation
for a lot of equations. That's, I liked it though.
That is definitely
a law of thermodynamics in there. Yeah. The second law. Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a theory.
See,
yeah, that's a thing that a person said once.
When Michael Conforto shows up at spring training with flowing locks, you'll know what happened.
I support that. That's fine.
So my thing is like
you support the pun.
No.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
No. I absolutely do not support that pun.
Endorsed.
My thing is this, is that like you can't get rid of a trademark unless you replace it with another trademark. And so like
face tattoo. You're saying DeGrom should get a huge
yes,
face tattoo.
That is exactly what
I'm saying. Of Mr. Met.
Yes. We all should do that. That should be the new cool thing that cool people do. But like, I don't know. I just think like it's tough to have like the Mets give those t-shirts out with the silhouette of his hair, and just that's Jacob DeGrom. And so when you get rid of it, you know, I felt similarly when Kutch shaved his head in terms of like, this is your look, man. You can wait until you retire, and then when you shave it off, you'll be anonymous because nobody's gonna know. What they'll be like, oh my God, like, you know, today DeGrom could come in this room and punch me in the face, and I'd be like, that sharp young man punched me in the face, because he's missing his trademark hair. And I think that once you establish the trademark, you got to stick with
but
it. Unless
also,
you go through a
you know,
real full rebrand. Like if he went to a different team, like if he had been traded or if he had signed as a free agent with another team, then yeah, okay. That makes sense to me. Like it's like guess what, that was a different me, guys. I'm different now. But that's not what this was. This was just boredom.
Well, you know, he did say last year that he wanted to cut it, and he didn't because he felt so pressured not to cut it.
Yes.
And that he didn't like taking care of it and didn't want to deal with it. And he is a person who has autonomy, so good for him.
Oh, no. He is the least important person. But guys, this is the grill. His hair is more about our enjoyment of it than it is about what is comfortable on his head under a hat. That's my belief.
He could have got it layered. I mean, it seems really thick. Maybe that was the issue. It's really thick. And when you have long, thick hair, it's harder to take care of. It's harder to deal with.
I know it.
Yeah.
All right.
A lot of Mets fans going to be using former DeGrom wigs to cosplay at Halloween this year.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll have no use for them anymore.
Should have called cut for hair expert Chris Landers.
We should. He has the best hair.
It's true.
Okay. That was interesting, and I'm sad about it, so I don't want to talk about it anymore because I'll just cry on this podcast. Let us move on and discuss the fully uniformed Ben Zobrist riding his bike to the local park with his family to watch some Sandlot baseball. On Saturday, he and his son Zion, plus his brother and his brother's son, rode their bikes over to Hamlin Park to watch some youth baseball games. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to slap on the old Cubs uniform and do that because maybe that was the only thing that was clean and it was laundry day. I'm not sure. But this was his quote. He said, I thought this was a great opportunity to wear my uniform, ride my bike, be a big kid, and show up for these kids, connect with them, sign some autographs, pictures, and just appreciate what it's like to play the game that way. You know, I'm giving him a tough time, but I think this is really cool. I think it's cool that, like, that he just was like, hey, I'm just going to go watch some baseball. Because he doesn't get to watch all that much baseball. He has to play baseball. So, you know, major league players want to watch baseball sometimes too. Ian, what do you think?
Well, I want to know how early is too early to draft Zion Zobrist.
What a great name.
That's going to be a great baseball player. Yeah, I like that he put on the full uniform, which is a thing that I would do all the time if I played Major League Baseball. And raises a lot of questions, like, is it like a Doug Funny situation where he just has a closet full of his own uniform? Did he have to get special permission to, like, leave the stadium with it? Does he just have, is it like a replica uniform that he bought for himself?
I hope it's that.
Wow, these are all really important questions.
I but I do appreciate that he like wanted to give all these kids a special moment of meeting Ben Zobrist, so to make it feel more official, he wore the uniform. Because like if he just showed up in khaki pants, it's kind of not the same thing.
Jorts.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a weird autograph show then. But doing it in uniform at the like Little League field was cool.
Yeah. Gemma, would you wear your own uniform to go meet children?
We were talking about this the other day. We were having this conversation. I mean, I think to meet children, yeah, I would. Because it's that for them. I think they do think of baseball players sort of as Doug Funny, is that they are baseball players in this different world, and that's how they look every day. And so
you're not 26 years old, that is a reference to a cartoon from the 90s.
Well, right. Okay, so it's, everyone understands cartoon characters wear the same clothes every day.
Doug Funny had a closet full of the same outfit.
There was specifically a moment of that. So I think that for kids, that is part of the magic, is because I think that's what they think baseball players just wear every day to do everything.
Yeah.
And Ben Zobrist really, like last year, we saw him ride his bike to Wrigley Field in the uniform, and it really kind of played into that magical illusion. And I think that's really great and sweet. It's kind of like a Santa situation. I think if I was meeting kids, I would absolutely do this. But if I was just like, you know, hanging out with my friends and I was a professional baseball player, definitely not wearing any part of a uniform.
Yeah, I'm torn on this, because here's my theory, is that if you wear your uniform out, people are like, kids will think it's you, right? They'll be like, oh, Ben Zobrist, there you are. Adults will be like, intellectually, I understand that a pro athlete would not wear his own uniform out. And so that's the ultimate way to be in disguise. Because then it's like, well, it's not Ben Zobrist, because he's wearing a Ben Zobrist uniform. And why would Ben Zobrist be wearing a Ben Zobrist uniform? So clearly that's not him.
I feel like the full uniform is different, though. Because if I saw a guy wearing a full uniform, I'd be like, there's like a 70% chance it's that guy. If it was just the jersey or just the jersey, I would be more dubious.
Absolutely. So if you saw Aaron Judge yesterday on the subway, you wearing a full Aaron Judge uniform, you would be like, that's Aaron Judge? Or you would be like, that's a guy who looks like Aaron Judge who's wearing the whole uniform, so that I think he is Aaron Judge? Because why would Aaron Judge be wearing his full uniform on the subway to go to work?
I mean, Aaron Judge is, I think, not a great example for this, because
he's very recognizable.
Like, how many 6'8" dudes are there who look like Aaron Judge?
That's a very good point.
If I saw him on the subway, I'd act like anything else I see in the subway. Look down, do not acknowledge,
look down,
not think about this moment.
But then secretly Snapchat it while you're pretending that you're texting, but actually you're just taking pictures, and then it would be a Cut 4 post.
It would be a Cut 4 post. Aaron Judge just wore his uniform. He must have left it at home and had to wear it to work. We've all been there.
That is the equivalent. Like, Ben Zobrist gets the, like, really sweet, you know, Sandlot dream of biking to the stadium. And in New York, you have to take the train. You have to transfer uniform.
You have to take two transfers, because the train you're trying to take is not running.
Yeah.
Did Zobrist hike up one sock like the biker, like people who bike do? Like, tuck the pants into one sock?
It was actually like a skin-tight uniform, and it was like a unitard version, and it was like a bunch of sponsors on it. So
I'd love for one baseball player to like get really into biking and then have one uniform sock hiked up on the field.
That'd be very cool.
Are they allowed? Nobody's ever done that, I feel like, just had one sock up. That might be wrong.
I don't think that's true, because I'm thinking, I don't know. We need Jake and Jordan here to tell us. They'll know. They'll tell us all five who did it in the history of Major League Baseball.
Was that in Michael Clayer's History of the Stirrup Sock?
He probably knows. We should ask him. But before we move on, we want to take a second to tell you about the Fantasy 411 podcast. No matter what format you play, listening to Fantasy 411 with Fred Zinke and Matthew Leach can give you an edge over your league's competition. 2017 fantasy season is over. Done.
Yeah, it is.
We have the winner of the Cup 4 Fantasy League on the podcast right now, Ian Kay. Congratulations.
Thank you. I couldn't have done it without several of your bad trades, Dakota.
It's been an insufferable year for all of us. Thankfully, it is mercifully over.
The great part is it's like a dynasty format, so I can bring back this winning team and defeat Dakota and Gemma once again.
They're a year older, a year less good. They'll hate each other. There's going to be the disease of more, where they just want every guy wants to be the leader of the team. Just real clubhouse disharmony. You're going to have to trade your star players.
Yeah, the disease of more dinger is going to affect Cody Bellinger next year.
This has been literally all years hearing this man brag about his fantasy team. It has been insufferable.
Ask me about more of my players.
Absolutely not. Last week's episode of Fantasy 411 thankfully did not feature Ian Kay. It had Fred and Matthew turning their attention to the 2018 drafts, debating whether Justin Verlander should be picked over Madison Bumgarner. Gemma, what do you think?
I mean, you know what I'm going to say.
I do know what you're going
to
say.
What a shock.
And debating where to take Andrew McCutchen. It's never too early to start preparing for the draft season, so subscribe to the Fantasy 411 podcast on Apple Podcasts today or wherever else you get your podcasts. Ian told me that I can't go off script anymore. We did it a little bit just now, but I was too unhinged last week. I went too crazy and in favor of the Pipeline podcast, so I had to dial it back in. He's here supervising now because of it.
You went off script when you traded me, Madison Bumgarner.
Oh!
All right, let us talk AL wildcard game, the thing that you have been wanting to hear about this whole podcast. The Twins and the Yankees faced off. Twins 4, Yankees 8. The Yankees emerged victorious in the wildcard game. And this was a bonkers wildcard game that went till midnight. There were 5 home runs. The first inning was insane. What is the major takeaway that you have from this game, Gemma? Like, what's the thing that when you look back on this game, like 3 years from now, that you will remember?
I'm going to remember Chad Green coming in. Like, yeah. I was... The starting pitching for this game, I didn't even know what to feel or think about it. Because we all made jokes. We were like, if the Yankees wanted to, they could just have one guy pitch each inning and then just be, you know, they're done. Mm-hmm. And that's almost what happened. I mean, there was definitely some long relief, David Robertson, but we did get to see like the full strength almost of the Yankee bullpen. And Severino got, what, one out? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to think about that and think about how the Yankees still won 8-4. Like, that's incredible. That's what I'm going to think about. I'm also going to think about, shout out to Ben Cosman, Twins fan, who was wearing his Joe Mauer cape.
Pour one out.
And we thought it was really effective for half an inning.
Poor Ben.
Yeah.
Poor Ben Cosman. There's a lot. Ian, what sticks out to you from this game? What is the thing that you're our resident Yankee fan?
Yeah, real,
on this
real
podcast.
Yankee fan.
So what? Give us the Yankee fan take.
I mean, the real Yankee fan take is whatever. It's just the wild card game. We're here to win rings.
Oh, can't wait for that team to get. Now, I was like a little bit pro-Yankee. Now I'm ready for you to get crushed by Cleveland.
Go ahead. I'll tell you my takeaway, but you give your takeaway.
My actual takeaway was that that whole first inning was crazy. Because, like, I mean, for Yankee fans, it's been a while since they won a World Series. Like, it's not, you know, like the mid-90s when they won
so
every year.
Long since
but,
Yankee
and this
fans.
Is the first, like, postseason appearance for this generation of players. So, everyone was hyped up. Like, I was hyped up. The stadium sounded amazing. They were going crazy. And then the Twins came out and scored 3 runs in the first inning, and it's like, oh, this could be awkward. you know, and I didn't, even though the bullpen is good, it's a lot to ask the bullpen to get to go 8 2/3 innings. So, at that moment, it kind of looked like this was just going to sort of be like a lame letdown to end the season. And then to come right back and tie the game up, like, that was just a wild moment.
Yeah, for me, this felt like just a classic 2017 Yankees game. And, like, this was the thing that really stuck out to me is that, like you were saying, the crowd was on another level that I have not heard new Yankee Stadium sound like, and at least not since it opened. And so, like, for me, it was just kind of jarring in that it was like these fans are hungry in a way that Yankee fans have never been hungry before. And it was just like, it was different than, like, even the last wild card game that they had. It just, this was like a different atmosphere of like, no, we want it. And like, we don't expect that we're going to win, but we really want to win. And I will say, now that you have one, you've reverted back into the, it's got to be the World Series, baby. It's that whole thing. But like, if for 9 innings, it was like the Yankees were any other team, and the fans just desperately wanted to win this game. And I thought that was extremely cool. And like, even after the first inning, which I guess we should talk a little bit more in depth about it. Minnesota, Brian Dozier led off the game with a home run for the first time ever. Sure, that's the first time that's happened in postseason history. Why not? And then Eddie Rosario hit a 2-run shot later in the inning to take a 3-0 lead, which they immediately relinquished in the bottom half with a Didi Gregorius 3-run home run. Didi, how about Didi?
Yeah, if you haven't been watching the Yankees this season, like, this was kind of a crash course in what the Yankees are.
Yeah.
Judge is going to hit homers. Didi hits homers now. And the bullpen will just shut it down if they can get a lead.
Yeah. This was like, okay, welcome to the 2017 Yankees. They're going to move on. And now, like, if you're one of those sort of casual fans who's sort of paying attention to the periphery of maybe the teams that are not your team, then this was now I understand what the Yankees are. The other thing that came back was these dugout interviews that they've been doing. Aaron Judge hit his home run in the fourth inning, and he was smiling, coming around the bases, and then he came back to the dugout, and there's this like elaborate thing where they like, there was like a fake camera now, which looked like a cooler or something, yeah, or like a trash like a can. Box. And like somebody had a mic, a fake mic, and he just gives like a spontaneous interview to a fake postseason.
The mic has a flag too.
It said Toe Night News or something. Very bizarre.
I do love this thing keeps multiplying, like more and more guys are involved. It's gonna be like a full press gaggle by the end of the postseason.
I liked using the glove as like a fake boom mic. That was really weird and specific. There was also a real light on the side of the fake camera.
Anytime that people get really into like key fob, I'm here for it. So this is good.
The most New York thing to do. Like you're not doing a dance. There's not a ritualized handshake. It's a fake TV interview.
They're gonna come back to the dugout and start like day trading bonds. They'll come back and start arguing over whether to fold a slice of pizza.
Like if LA did this, they would have what's the thing that closes for
green
movies?
Green juice. Yoga retreat.
They would be drinking juice. What's the thing?
Traffic.
That looks like this? The slate that has the clapper. The clapper.
They'd have that.
That's their version. They'd have like they're shooting their fake interview on 70mm film. That's what they would do. But here we have the fake TV interview.
In Detroit, would they build a car? They'd build a fake car
and then drive it around.
And then just drive it back out on the
exactly.
This is a great celebration.
How rude of you to bring up Detroit in this postseason discussion.
Just wanted to throw it out there. We need to talk about Byron Buxton's catch as well, which he took away an extra base hit from Todd Frazier. He came up not great after the play, but it was just one of those things where like the Twins were in this game pretty much the whole game, even though the final scoreline doesn't necessarily make it seem as close as it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were still making incredible plays throughout the game. And Buxton, I mean, just a joy to watch him on like the real national stage. Ian, did you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it is really cool to see. He's been kind of doing that all year and is maybe the best defensive center fielder in baseball right now. So it's always cool when these postseason games live up to, like, the narrative that you want and you want to see. I feel like this game did in a lot of ways last night, and that was definitely one of them.
It did. I mean, it really did. Like, in pretty much every way that you would have said, like, keep an eye out for this, it happened.
Yeah, I think that's great because it did fulfill the expectations we had. Like, everyone wanted to see an Aaron Judge home run, and everyone got to see one. Everyone wanted to see Byron Buxton make a great catch. Everyone saw that happen.
Everyone wanted to see, like, the Yankees bullpen take over the game. It happened.
And it happened so fast.
Yeah.
And I think that...
And the Yankees haters wanted to see the Yankees have to persevere. I'll include myself in that, whatever. And they did. Like, they were down 0-3 to start the game. Like, this literally had all the narratives that you wanted.
We learned a lot about some Twins that we never knew anything about before. Got to meet the Twins bullpen. That was fun.
We did. That is true.
Everyone wanted that, right?
I think there was a surprise narrative in this game, which was, of course, David Robertson coming out of the bullpen in the third inning. He threw 3 1/3 innings of really, I think, sharp relief. And then in the sixth inning, an unfortunate incident occurred when a foul tip caught Gary Sanchez, who doubled over in pain. But you know who appeared to be in more pain, who felt sympathy pains, was Robertson himself. And it was captured in an incredible photograph. You need to go to MLB.com/cut4. You can see it there. It looked like it hurt, didn't it, Ian?
Yep. yeah, he got caught in one of the worst places you can get caught.
Yeah.
And I think just the way that Robertson's follow-through landed, he sort of saw the whole thing play out from, like, as close as anyone could be to it. And he seemed to be feeling the pain, too.
This was the thing for me, is that they, like, everyone's laughing the photo because it's a funny photo. You can go see it. I was moved by how much he seemed to really care. like he seemed like he physically experienced that pain and was like, no. And it just seemed to really cause like a real emotional experience for him. And I thought that was somewhat moving. I appreciated that. Gemma, what did you think?
I understand this because I sometimes can't like watch certain reality TV shows because I feel too anxious for the people I'm watching. Like if they're something horrible is happening to them, I'm like, I can't handle this. So I also am kind of I am a sympathy reactor as well. So I really identified with him in that moment because I can't really identify with any other part of this other than seeing someone else feel pain and also wishing that they didn't have to. I thought that was a really human moment, and I think it's kind of sweet how now they're just tweeting at each other about it, though it is also kind of weird that they keep sharing those pictures. Like, I don't know, but whatever.
I think it's funny.
Live your lives, guys.
There is nothing funnier than what happened. Let's be honest. The internet was built on what occurred, and it was, you know, I'm glad that they have a sense of humor about it, considering it could have been, they could not have a sense of humor about it, and it would be a lot less fun. There were 5 home runs in total in this game. It was nuts. And then at the end, Joe Mauer did his best to keep it going. He came up. He was slated to be the last out of the game. He came through with a hit before the Twins eventually gave up the ghost, as it were. But it was good to see Joe Mauer have like at least one moment here of postseason.
Do you
pride.
Think after this, I don't know if this is the case, but something they said on the broadcast last night was that when you think of the Twins, you think of Joe Mauer. Mm-hmm. Do you think that has changed at all? Do you think people have seen the Twins on a national stage now? They might think Brian Dozier. Do you think there's like a new guy who's going to be associated, or is it still Joe Mauer?
I think it's still Joe Mauer. I think it's Buxton's to take, but I think for now it's Mauer. What do you think?
Yeah, I think probably still Mauer right now. It's too bad that Miguel Sano wasn't able to play in this game because I feel like he is the guy who could move into that level.
Berríos potentially too. Berríos. Who did play?
Yeah, you know, I think Sano like could end up right up there the way we talk about Judge or talk about Bellinger, guys like that. He's sort of in that class, and he just happened to be hurt at the wrong time. But yeah, I think for now it's maybe still Mauer, which is cool. Like it's kind of interesting that he was one of the top few players in the league for a couple seasons. And now, like, isn't quite at that MVP level anymore, but is still a really good player, you know, all these years later.
Yeah, and it's not over for the Twins. Like, this team's still relatively
just
young.
Just getting started for this.
Yeah, so, like, you know, it's one of those things, like, you could be, like, totally heartbroken losing a wild card game, but I would not be if I was the Twins. Going from one of the worst records of baseball to being a postseason team, this is the start of something beautiful.
Aww.
Isn't it?
That's really nice.
I think so, too.
Yes.
Tonight, you guys listening right now, you're in the future, so you know. We don't know. Don't spoil it for us. You know the winner of the National League wildcard game between the Rockies and D-backs.
Very excited for
Very exciting. Yeah. It should just edit me saying the winner as though I know who it is. That would be really exciting.
You want an update from how my dad feels about this?
Okay,
so obviously my dad is very excited for the Arizona JD Martinez's to win this game, but his like one of his best high school friends lives in Colorado and is a really big Rockies fan, so now he's feeling emotionally conflicted because he wants to go ski with this guy in Colorado, and therefore he wants him to be happy about, you know, this baseball season.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's a struggle. Who do you think is going to win? We'll see if you're right. I'm going to hold you to it.
This is physically painful because as I'm saying this, I know that the person that you listening to it, you will know. And so I'm going to sound like an idiot no matter what.
And we're all going to sound wrong. Yeah.
Ian, why don't you go first?
I mean, I think any of these wild card games are like 53-47 at the most.
Yeah.
Like anybody could win.
Yeah.
If I had to pick
excuses,
I would pick the D-backs.
D-backs?
Me too.
Rockies.
Whoa. Ooh.
I'm doing it. It's tough to pick against.
Yeah,
Granky,
please make fun of us all when we're all wrong.
I'm gonna go
somehow.
With the Rockies. I really like the Rockies. We also have the division series are coming up. Boston versus Houston. The Yankees are gonna take on Cleveland. That's exciting. Keep an eye out for those as well. Guys, it's time.
Oh, I forgot that we do this.
It's time to summarize the podcast into 140 characters, one tweet that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one bite-sized chunk. I have a suspicion that my Twitter account, at Dakota Gardner, has the 280 character limit. I just don't tweet enough to know. So
this is crazy. You have to try.
I don't have anything to say.
Why? Is
also,
there a reason you think this?
Yes, because I was typing a tweet and they have that little like bar that fills up as you're tweeting. And like I was done with my tweet and I had most of the bar left. And I was like, this can't be. I think I have 280 characters.
If only there was a way to find out.
I don't have anything of value to say, as evidenced by this segment of the Cup Forecast, which I am horrible at. But you know what, Gemma, since you and I have been bickering all day, Ian, I'm going to make you go first.
Okay. The law of conservation of baseball uniform states. If Ben Zobrist wears a Cubs uniform in public, a Cubs player must wear a bike uniform on the field.
This was horrible. This was a horrible tweet.
A bike uniform.
This was one of the like 10 worst tweets we've ever had on the Cubs.
That is not true.
That is true.
That is not true.
My babbling nonsense is better than that.
I like it because it's
sorry,
not
you don't understand science.
It's not a biker's uniform, but like the bike itself has a uniform. I like it. I just like all
the bike. That's
like
the bike
tight
itself.
Shirt and the bad shorts.
Yeah, no,
the clip-in shoes.
Clip-in shoes.
Absolutely not. Okay, here's my tweet.
I get to go last.
Man, this is hard. Congrats to the happy couple. : Jacob DeGrom and Andrew McCutchen.
This is getting weird.
:
What?
On their new looks. : I know Cutches is old now, : but this tweet needed it to be current for the tweet to make sense, . : # I'm sorry for this wordy tweet, # do I have 280 characters ? Tweet.
I guess you just proved to whoever makes the choices on Twitter to take away your extra long 280 character tweets.
Yeah.
That might have been the worst tweet ever on this.
I did you a favor. I undercut your tweets that I'm even worse.
Really incoherent.
Gemma, what have you got? Save us
okay,
from these two.
All right,
horrible
here you
tweets.
Go. Here goes. If your team wins any postseason round, you should have to wear your full uniform and go watch a kid's game the next day.
That's great. Yes. Retweeted. I deleted my tweet. I deleted Ian's tweet for him.
I stand by my tweet.
If you have a tweet that more accurately and adequately condenses our podcast one bite-sized chunk, please tweet at us at Cut4 with the # Cut4Cast. You can go to MLB.com/Cut4 to read about all the stories we talked about today. You can go to MLB.com to read all about the AL wildcard game. You can tweet at us to tell us about the NL wildcard game because past Ian and past Gemma and past Dakota don't know what happened in it, and we really want to know. You can also go to facebook.com/cut4, like our page. All of our content will appear in your newsfeed as the postseason goes on. You can follow us on Twitter at Cut4. You can email us cut4cast@mlb.com. That's cut4cast@mlb.com. Questions, quandaries, concerns, anything that you have ever wondered, what time is the ALDS game 4 on? You can email us instead of asking Google. And I mean, Google will get you the answer faster, but we'll answer it with more personality and charm, I think.
Probably,
unless we have to tweet it at you. You can also, this is a podcast, and you can go to Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe to this podcast there. While you are there, you can leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars, or you can actually take time to type out a review. If you do that, it helps other people find the show, which makes Ian happy, and we all want to make Ian happy, don't we, Gemma?
We do.
We do. We, Ian?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sitting in this week on our podcast, Ian.
Absolutely.
Gemma, thank you as always for being here.
I think we got along pretty well, despite our...
I think we
did. Yeah.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
I can't wait to see those mics turn off.
But mostly, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.